read from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Okay, I can still hear pages turning. That's obviously a generational thing. In some churches, it's just the sound of phone scrolling. Okay, are we ready? Beginning at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray. For we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom we foreknew, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? For it is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a great passage. I'm going to share a few thoughts not from the whole passage, because we'd be here till next week. But just from verses later, which I'll share with you. This morning, I must admit, preparing this sermon, I've got quite excited. I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I've got quite excited preparing this morning. And I want to share just a few thoughts on the providence of God. The providence of God. Now, a dictionary definition of providence is an influence that is not human in origin and is thought to control people's lives, or the care and control of God or of a force that is not human in origin. So that's providence, but the providence of God this morning. So the verse that's really been on my heart and just been challenging me to share with you this morning is from Romans 8, verse 28. That's the verse I want to share from, and I'm specifically reading it from the New American Standard Version. Other versions you can use as well, but and let me just say what it says in there. It says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, it's really important for us to understand that it's God who's causing all these things to happen in our lives. Good for us, good for him, for his purpose. It's God who's doing this. Other versions, perhaps are slightly more ambiguous. So, for example, the King James says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, it's important, it's really important that we understand that it's God who's making these things happen. Whatever situation and circumstance, it's God at work. It's really important. God at work, his wonders to perform. You see, God is at work in your life, in my life, and in the life of all believers. God is at work. But also he's working on and in the lives of those people who are yet to become Christians. It's not just us. Otherwise, if he wasn't working in other people's lives, how did we become Christians? Was it by chance? Was it a fluke? Was it luck? No, God wooed us. God wooed us. His Holy Spirit has whispered to us. His Holy Spirit is called the convictor and the convincer. He convicts us of sin and he convinces us that Jesus really is the Son of God. Really is God the Son. Oh, and people have prayed. I know my mother prayed for me. She became a Christian when I was 11. We were sent to Sunday school from the age of, I don't know, young. But she didn't become a Christian, so I was there. But she prayed for us, and she prayed for us, and she prayed for us. And we too, in turn, pray for others, and pray for our family and our friends, and pray that God will bring them to salvation, bring them to realization and the knowledge of God. But the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and the Holy Spirit convinces us. It's not a fluke, it's not chance, it's not luck, it's the providence of God. It's God working in our lives. God's plans and purposes are and will be fulfilled either with us or without us. But he chooses to include us. Doesn't that excite you? He chooses to include us and to use us to make them happen because of his mercy, because of his grace, because it's possible because of the blood of Jesus. You see, if chance existed, if luck existed, it would be more powerful than God. All this would be happening outside of God's influence. But this is the problem. You are no accident this morning. Hello? You are no accident this morning. I really want to emphasize this. You are no accident this morning. You're not simply a product of two people's desire. You're not a product of evolution. You may well have been planned, okay, in an earthly sense, but you are not an accident. When I was a relatively young, immature Christian, we already had Emily and we were going to have our second. We were looking to have a second child. And just in my simple faith, I just knew, believed that it would happen, and we planned it that that our second child will be born at the end of August. My wife's a teacher, so by doing that, you've got maximum holiday, minimum childcare. All right. I went into work in the November, okay, and I said to one of the ladies at work, I said, "Oh, we're going to have another baby," and they said, "Oh, she's all fantastic. When's it due?" I said, "End of August." "Well, we haven't conceived yet, but it's the end of August." And she was like, she was apoplectic. That's a good one, yeah. Apoplectic. She was annoyed with me because I was so adamant. I said, "Oh, okay." Well, we did the pregnancy test on Boxing Day, and Lizzie was born on the 29th of August. So, you know, I just really believed. And sometimes, with simple faith, just knowing what we know, God is at work. But even more importantly than an earthly planning, you, me, us, we were planned and made by God. In Psalm 139, "You were created, you have created my innermost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Jeremiah 1, verse 5. So this is God speaking to Jeremiah. He says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You see, Jeremiah, he was a great man of God, did God's job, he was a prophet, but he's just an ordinary person like us. What applied to him applies to us. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a..." Fill in the blank. God appointed you for a purpose and a plan. Now, where's my phone?
Here it is.
This is my phone, and recently, I'm really excited about this, I've learned how to listen to podcasts. Wow. At my age, at 60, being really, really old, I've learned how to listen to podcasts, and I've been really excited to listen to all these different podcasts. I can listen to podcasts in the car, in the gym, when I'm out walking, and it doesn't cost me any data. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you are a lot more advanced than me, but I got excited about that. And the testimonies of various people we hear, who've been, some who've died and come back, and you know, the thing that breaks my heart in one sense is they come back and they share about their experiences of heaven. You know, the people who've, and one of the things that really, you know, we're talking about the fact that God knew you in your mother's womb. And they come back and they say that there was the grown-up babies who'd been aborted. Recently a man had been prosecuted in this country for silently praying inside an exclusion zone outside an abortion clinic where abortions were taking place. How have we got to that place? How have we got to that point in this so-called civilized country that we cannot be within 150 metres. I checked it online this morning just to make sure I got it right. 150 metres. And in the list of things we're not allowed to do within that 150 metres is silent prayer. Because it's seen as intimidating or harassing. You know, in our church, we have a wonderful family. I won't mention the name so I know you record it. A wonderful family. They've got three amazing children and two of them are twins. Well, your two would be twins, wouldn't they? Yeah. Two of them are twins. When they've done the scans, at the early scans, one of the children had severe brain damage. They could see that the brain formation was very poor, and they encouraged the family to abort the child. But they didn't. They believed that that wasn't the right thing to do. They trusted God. And the two children, the two twins, are fine and great, and they're growing. And they're doing well. And the one that's had the challenges when it comes to brain formation, she's meeting all the, ticking all the boxes, meeting all the milestones. Over 2 years old now. Walking, talking, doing all the things that a normal child should do. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Fill in the blank. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's a great kids chorus, and I'm excited to say that we're going to sing it at the end. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. And there's a line in there that says, for he knows me and he loves me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Be a part of God's amazing plan. See, you, me, us, we are part of God's amazing plan. Now, if you can't get excited about that, I don't know what you can get excited about. There were 100,000 people getting excited yesterday. About probably three quarters of them were getting excited when England won the rugby yesterday. 100,000, many more at home. But if we can't get excited about being part of God's plan, I don't know what we can get excited about. Amen? Yeah. We are part of God's plan. As a teenager, I read a book called Run Baby Run. Anybody read Run Baby Run? Story of Nicky Cruz, who was a gang member. In fact, he was the leader of the most feared gang in New York called the Mau Maus. And there was a country preacher by the name of David Wilkerson. And recently, I heard a testimony from the current minister of the church in New York, Times Square Church, sharing a testimony. And I was just blown away because I've read both the Run Baby Run, and I've read The Cross and the Switchblade, and David Wilkerson went to New York to speak to some of the gang members on trial. He wasn't allowed to. And he went outside and he was preaching outside on a small platform. Police officer came along and said to him, "Oh, we've got lots of gang activity going on here. I want you to stop because he might cause some trouble." So he was just about to stand down and stop preaching when the captain of the police in that area came along and said, "What's going on here?" He said, "Oh, this guy's preaching and there's lots of stuff going on. I thought we'd better..." "Oh, well, let him preach. The captain turns out to be the father of the current pastor of the New York church. When Dave Wilkerson preached, that's when he met Nicky Cruz. The providence of God. God is in charge. These are not accidents. Okay? This is not luck. This is not chance. This is God at work. His wonders to perform. This is God at work. This is his providence. You know, we are told that we live in a world which is chaotic and a mess because of climate change or because of wars or because of natural disasters, of the fact that God is not being worshipped. Spirituality is poor because people have turned away from God. We can see that with our own eyes, what is happening today. We can read it in our newspapers, watch it on the web, on the YouTube, social media, on the however you receive your news, this is what is being told. But as believers, none of this should be a surprise, should it? No surprise whatsoever. He told us. God has already told us in the scriptures what's going to happen. It should be no surprise. All this is the beginning of birth pains leading up to his return. Now, I'm going to read the passage from Matthew 24 because, you know, every time I read it, it just sort of turns that light on, blinking, you know, warning light. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 4. And Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumours of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Is that not the world we're living in? It's not new news for us. It's old news. 2,000-year-old news. This is what it's going to be at the end. So it really shouldn't surprise us as believers. God is at work. God is at work. God's providence. And we know that God causes all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But God has warned us, and he's warned us. He's told us to be watchful, not to be fearful. And that's really important. We don't need to worry. Do not worry. Do not be fearful. We don't need to worry about these things because we are secure in God's hands. The parable he told of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, we know that we are to be a wise people. Wise people to understand the signs of the times, what's going on. He told us. He told us to be watchful. You see, nothing happens by luck or by chance. But neither should it be que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That's fatalism. We have a plan and purpose. We have things to do. We have things that God wants us to do. As a believer, God is still in charge of your life. And we can trust him. Hence, we don't need to worry. I mean, when we worry, we're saying, "God, actually, I don't trust you. Yeah, I don't think you can actually do this. Actually, I need to deal with it myself." Instead of saying, "God, you're in charge, I'll let you sort it out." You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Or as Jesus prayed on that cross. He said, not my will be done, but yours be done. We can expect God's providence in our lives. We can expect him to work. When we say your will be done, not my will, what has God got planned for you today? What has God got planned for me today? Aren't you excited? I am. Perhaps we should call this our adventures in God. Yeah? Wake up in the morning. God, what have you got planned for me today? Who am I going to meet today? Where am I going today? What's happening? Let's get going, God. You know, the more I think about it, the more I get excited. I'm just getting excited now. It's a roller coaster ride with God. Who's he going to bring across our path? But I do have a problem. Oh, well, I've got more than one, but this is a big problem. You see, what it is, I'm the best driver on the road. Every time I get in the car, I realise I'm the best driver. You know, you must agree with me.
Yeah.
Thank you, amen. Every time I get in the car, I realise that it's an opportunity for me to show God's grace. Oh, we've been doing a series in one of our house groups, and we've come to this week. We were supposed to do patience. I decided to do something else instead. Well, we'll do patience, but I'm just going to let it wait a bit. It is an opportunity for us to show God's grace. The guy that I cut up in Monmouth on Friday, he didn't have much grace. I couldn't tell exactly what he said, but he didn't wish me best wishes. Yes. So we have this opportunity every day. What has God got for us to do? I also have a problem with our friends across the pond and some of the teachings in what they call the prosperity gospel. I believe in divine healing. I've seen it happen. I've prayed for people and people have been healed. God is the healer. I believe in supernatural provision. When I first was a Christian, I lived in a one-bedroom flat. My income was less than my outgoings, and God provided time after time after time. I went home to see my parents one day, and they said, oh, we got a surprise for you. I said, what's it? When you was you, your sister and your brother, when you were young, we decided to save a little bit of money every month in an insurance thing. And it's come to fruition. There might be a couple of £100 for you. It was £600, and God met my needs there and there. Supernatural provision. God's providence. I believe in biblical prosperity in every area of my life and your life. Financial, spiritual, physical, emotional and social. Everyone, every part of our life, God wants us to be blessed and to be a blessing. But I believe God's promises to meet our needs, not our greeds. I believe God promises to put the lonely into families. I believe God promises healing and health. But I also believe, and I believe what the Bible says. But he also tells us that in this world, you will have trouble. But, it's a big but I've overcome the world, says Jesus. We will be persecuted for our faith. We don't see it that much at this moment in the Forest of Dean. But there's many places in the UK where our people are being persecuted for their faith. I mentioned to you that, there was a man who was praying silently around an abortion clinic, and he's been prosecuted and fined. Do you know what it says on the government website? It says any of the unlimited fine and imprisonment. Unlimited fine and imprisonment. You know, I look at the life of someone like Joni Erickson-Tada. And what an amazing woman of God. Had a terrible, tragic accident, dived into a swimming pool, broke her neck, became a quadriplegic. Criticised by Christians. You know, one of the things Christians are really good at is shooting our wounded. You know? We as believers, this should be like a hospital. Where people who are broken and wounded come in and they receive help and healing and love. Not criticism. Not enough faith to receive her healing, she was told. Yet, thousands, if not millions of people have been helped and blessed because of her life and her books and her ministry and all the things that she's done. And she sees God causing all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love him this morning? Then that's you. If you love him this morning, that's you. God's providence. We read in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." We will not know some things until we get to glory. Amen? Some things we're going to get to glory and go, "Oh yeah, that's why." Other things we will know, we know now, but not perhaps at that moment in time. You know the tragic story of a woman whose child died, a Christian couple. "God, why have you allowed this to happen? But we press into God, we trust you, God," etc. A number of years later, a family in her street, not Christians, their child was run over by a car, and they were the ones who were able to comfort them and to bless them and to empathise because they'd been through the same thing and bring them to salvation. You see, eternity is a very long time, and we're on this earth for a very short time. I'm sure we can look back and see God's hand on our lives and thinking, "Oh yeah, that's why that happened. That's why I'm here. That's what..." In 1987, I moved to the Forest of Dean. Lucky day for them. In 1988, I moved in with a girl. And all things went pear-shaped. My life hit rock bottom. I was living in a flat I couldn't afford. I had no friends, no family, no money, no nothing. She decided to go home. I should have said she decided to go home to her mother, because I think it was my snoring, I suspect. But anyway. But so I was on my own completely. And that was the lowest point in my life, which drove me to find Jesus. Drove me to find company. I knew people who went to the local church, the Mount of Olives, and I just wanted some company. It was there I found Jesus. Well, I should say Jesus found me and transformed my life. 3 weeks after I first went, I remember that day walking home on cloud nine. The story of Hadadatha is an amazing story. Anybody know who Hadadatha is? Oh, see, I thought you were Bible students here. If I said the story of Esther is an amazing story. Yeah. That was her name, Hadadatha, also called Esther. I think, you know, it makes me laugh sometimes. Anybody ever looked at the Apocrypha sometimes put into Bibles? And in the Apocrypha is the other chapters of Esther. Oh yeah. In Esther, well, one of the things that is most amazing about the book of Esther is God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. You see God at work, but God is never mentioned. Oh, in the other chapters of Esther, God, 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 God. Let's just stick to scripture. Amen? And in that story, what an amazing scene we see. God working behind the scenes. The providence of God working behind the scenes. The very day that Haman wants to put Mordecai on a spike and kill him is the night that God wakes the king up and gets him to read from the books of the law, and realizes that Mordecai had done an amazing thing and stopped this stopped the king being killed. They tried to take over a rebellion. It was that very night, not the night before or the night after, that very night woke the king up, and as he says to Haman, "What should I do for the person I want to honour?" And Haman thinks of himself, because he's just so selfish and self-centred. I think should be paraded around town on a horse. Yeah, Mordecai, the person that... He didn't say this, but Mordecai, who was the person that wouldn't bow down to him, "I want you to do it for him, to say thank you for what he's done." But the most amazing bit in Esther is what happens later on. After she's they find out that all the Jews are going to be slaughtered. And Mordecai says to her this: "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" For such a time as this. You're here this morning for such a time as this. It's no accident you're here this morning. Whoever you are, it's no accident. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not by accident. But we have a choice in this, and it's called free will. God has given us a choice. And free will is extremely powerful. And it stops God working in our lives. If we choose to turn our back on God or choose to go our own way, God will not stop us. He will try to help us and encourage us. We know the parable of the prodigal son, and we see that he went off and he did what he wanted to do until he came to his right mind. And I'll go back to my father and say to my father, "I've sinned against you." You know, I don't know. I'm not 100%. I was always a once saved, always saved person. I wouldn't say I've got doubt, but there's some scriptures which are not quite so clear. Whether we can reject God as a believer and lose our salvation, I'm not 100%. But certainly the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that at the believer's judgment, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You see, there's power of free will. Jesus told us that he had come to give us life and an abundant life. Just escaping the flames? I don't think that sounds like abundant life to me. Does it to you? There's nothing more wonderful than walking with Jesus, seeing him at work through our lives. That's abundant life. Not this just getting stuff. That's abundant life. Walking with Jesus every day. Seeing him. God, what have you got planned for me today? I don't know, but if you're not a believer here this morning, you're not here by chance either. God's got a hand on you. God's got a plan for you too. And we can pray. Okay, in conclusion. Sorry, gone over. Whoops.
Preaching, brother.
The providence of God we're talking about. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is at work. He's at work in your life. He's at work in my life. He's at work in the lives of our loved ones. He is at work. He hasn't left this earth. God is at work. We don't need to fear, but trust him. You know, I want us to go away today thinking, what exciting plans has God got for me today, or tomorrow, or next week, or so on? Maybe, as I said, we should call it Adventures in God. We're going to sing this children's chorus. There are actions. Okay? Now, if you want to do the actions, that's fine. If you don't want to do the actions, well, there's no chocolate biscuits for you after. No. Although the gentleman at the back said he doesn't have them, so I can't, you know. So we're going to sing this. Our God is a great big God. And I know the actions, so you can follow me if you want. Okay? Or not, as the case may be. But the point is, in these words, he says, he loves me, he knows me and he loves me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. And when we sing that, you've got to jump up and down. Do that. Alright? Is that okay? Come on now. I thought he was like all young. I bet you, does any of you go to, well, I used to call it pop and flop, but Pilates or, what do they call it? Zumba. Okay, we're going to sing this. Our God is a